Well, good morning. Excited to be here with you, to worship Jesus, to invite him to heal our hearts and to break every chain and receive his power. And this winter, we're on a journey inviting you to join us with pursuing wisdom. It's worth far more than any riches, rubies, whatever you do, get wisdom. And so we're looking at Proverbs. And the definition we're using for wisdom is becoming competent with God's pattern for life. Living our life the way God wants us to live. That is wisdom. Listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. We want to challenge you each week this winter with that truth of wisdom. Now, I told you last Sunday that I was going to address the seven deadly sins this morning, and I'm not going to do that. We talked in the preaching team, and Joel next Sunday is going to introduce the vices and virtues in Solomon. But today, I want to talk with you about the power of the tongue. Now, Dwight just read that no man can control the tongue. So my assumption is that that includes you. I know it includes me. So there's two responses I'm hoping that you'll feel this morning in this message. As we look at some of the verses in Proverbs about our words, the tongue, how we communicate. One, the first response is that I'm hoping that you will feel a sense of guilt, of shame, of remorse, of repentance, because my assumption is that there's not a one of us here that are innocent. We're all guilty of using words in wrong ways or withholding words that should have been spoken. You okay with that? So let yourself bring your heart to a place of repentance, of brokenness this morning. The other thing I want you to leave with, and that comes from, there's a story in Acts 2 where Jesus had ascended to heaven and the followers of Jesus were in the upper room and they were praying because Jesus had promised to send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came and they were filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit, think about what happened to their tongues. Think about it. Filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke wise words. They spoke in heavenly languages. They spoke in other languages. And the people were amazed. And several chapters later, these are unlearned and ignorant men, but yet they're speaking so wisely. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That is your story potentially also. So there's hope this morning that the Holy Spirit can change your heart, change your tongue to speak wisdom. All right, those two responses. So let's get started here with these verses from Proverbs about the tongue. Now, if you categorize all the verses in Proverbs, the most common subject that the Proverbs addresses, somebody want to take a guess? What's the most common subject addressed in Proverbs?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. You got it. All right. Now, I've kind of led you on to this, but the second most common theme in the verses around Proverbs is related to the tongue, the words we speak. Isn't that amazing? The second most common subject addressed in Proverbs is our words. Our tongue, it's such an important part of our life. And if we want to walk the path of wisdom, we've got to get a hold of learning to speak with wisdom. The tongue, no man can control, but the Holy Spirit can help us with this. Words are so powerful. So here's kind of the theme verse for today. In Proverbs 18, the tongue has power. Power of life and power of death. And those who love it, love the speaking in wisdom, will reap the fruit, the benefit, incredible benefit of speaking wise words, speaking with wisdom. It's fruit, it's delicious fruit that you will enjoy eating. Years ago, in the context of teaching my children how to drive, which I've taught a number of them, 11 to be exact, and the 12th one is anxiously waiting. And so I heard this story from someone here, and they said, you know, when you, they came from a hunting family, and said, my father taught me this. He said that when you pick up a gun, there's incredible responsibility there, potential power. When you load that gun with a shell, a bullet, there's an increased amount of responsibility, seriousness, potential for harm and good. When you take that safe off, you click the safety and you rest your finger on the trigger, you need to be so careful walking around like that. You get it? You would agree. And they use that analogy with when you get in a car, it's like picking up a gun. When you start that car, it's like loading in a shell. When you put that car in gear and rest your foot on the gas pedal, that's like walking around with a loaded gun with the safety off, finger on the trigger. You have to be so careful. It's incredible potential for harm and good. Now, when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and you go down to the, for me, it's the kitchen, and the tongue, my tongue is in my mouth, obviously, it's like walking around with a loaded gun, safety off, finger on the trigger. It's like driving a car down the road, foot on the gas pedal. We have to be so careful. Because from the minute you wake up and you start interacting with other people, you have an incredible potential for good and for bad. Power of the tongue. It's such a huge part of our life. Power to destroy what is most important to us. And that is, we're created for community. We're created for relationships. We need friends, nourishment, family, people to connect with. That's how God made us. And so quickly, our words can just separate us. Perverse person stirs up conflict. So quickly, without meaning to, we're having an average normal day with our family, or work, school, and we say the wrong thing and relationships separate. People create distance. A gossip separates close friends. That's one of the vices that we'll be talking about later. So much power for good and bad in words, for distancing yourself from relationships which we all so desperately need. Words have power to heal and to wound. The words of a reckless pierce like swords. What a vivid image of words, of speaking words, is like walking around just throwing a sword back and forth, flashing your sword, and all of a sudden, without meaning to, or sometimes very intentionally, we can wound someone with a sword. And what a sword does is the person may live, but it may leave scars for life. It may cripple for life. It may even kill. Now, I can vividly remember looking back as a young child, teenager, words that were spoken to me that hurt, that in some ways scarred me for life. You can think of words like that too, right? As you look back in your life, your childhood, whatever. For some of you, childhood isn't that far back, teenage, but for some of us, it is. Words hurt, don't they? Words can hurt, like a sword. We have to be so careful. And while I'm on this subject of words, let me give you some free advice. I won't charge you extra for this at all. But when you are on social media, when you email, when you text, when you're on Facebook, be careful about your words. Cyberbullying is a huge problem in our culture. And also, I'm continually talking to people, and I experience it myself, where I got this text, and I'm like, what does this mean? So here's some real simple advice, guideline. This is worth a lot. It's worth you coming out today just to hear this. If you have an issue with anyone, if you feel somebody needs to be straightened out, or you want to correct somebody or confront someone, don't do it on social. Don't do it texting. Stop it. Just don't do it. Wait till you can look them in the eye and then ask Jesus to give you the right words. But don't confront people with texting. It's so stupid. Unwise is a better word. All right. We'll go on here. The amazing thing about words also is that the words you speak have power over yourself. An evil man is trapped by his own sinful talk. Now let me illustrate that I wish I could remember this, and Naomi's not here this morning. I could have asked her. I don't know if she remembers, but Naomi and I were kind of old-fashioned, old school with we knew each other, and then kind of interested, and we started dating. And I know these words have different meanings today. We began a relationship. And this relationship blossomed and grew, and we began closer. And finally, I worked up enough nerve. I remember this feeling, but I don't remember the exact time. When I finally said, Naomi, I love you. Now that was a huge point in our relationship, when you were able to say, I love you. I have a feeling that teenagers today, they're much more free and loose with that. But back then, and the day, and you know what happened when I started verbalizing I love you to Naomi? I felt my heart being drawn to her. It changed me. It made me want to love her. And as we got married and the relationship, I continue to say that, and even today, a little secret that Naomi knows this already, but when our relationship went for struggling and I'm like, oh man, this isn't a good day in our marriage, and I intentionally look at her and say, Naomi, I love you. Do you know what that does? It changes me. It changes my heart. It pulls me. Power. Is that better? Is that our words have power over ourselves. Now think about it. If you are in a conflict situation and you say to someone, I hate you, those words have power over you. Do you get it? They will pull you down the path of a fool. So what you speak has power even over yourself. So a simple rule of thumb is, if you can remember this, is that if you're feeling negative towards someone and you feel like lashing out, go ahead and lash out, but lash out to God. Tell God how you feel. It's okay. He understands. You can ask Him to forgive you and He'll help you. So if you need to vent, vent to God. But choose your words to speak positive and encouraging, Caleb, words to others. So the tongue has power. Four categories of words in Proverbs. I want to briefly go over all these verses. Obviously not going to look at all of them, but just a few here. These four categories. One is words, speak words. Why a wise person speaks words that are truthful versus deceptive words. Now I know you can speak the truth. You know this too, right? You can be true, speak the truth, but still be deceptive, right? So a wise person speaks words, communicates what is truthful, what is honest, rather than trying to deceive others. A big problem in our culture today, in our media, in the political realm, is fake news. So you read something, you hear something, you're not sure. Is it accurate? And And it doesn't matter if you're a conservative or liberal or watching Fox or watching CNN, it's like, is this true? And when politicians speak, you know, the old line about politicians is, how do you know when a politician's lying? It's when their lips are moving. That's nothing new, but it's a problem. It's a real detriment to culture when we cannot be truthful to each other. And in relationships, Proverbs is saying we need to be truthful. I love the poetry in Proverbs, and particularly when they, you know, there are six things the Lord hates, yea, seven that are an abomination to him. That's a form of poetry in Hebrew. And then it lists these seven things in Proverbs 6. First one, haughty eyes. Second one, a lying tongue. The Lord hates deceptive lying tongue. Then a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush to evil, a false witness. There it is again. A false witness. And a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. So two out of the seven are related to being truthful versus being deceptive. All right, the second thing of these four categories is words that are gentle versus words that are harsh. Now, gentle isn't soft necessarily, soft, sugary, being a pushover, can include that, soft and gentle, but a soft, gentle word turns away wrath, harsh words. Now, here's a verse that I love. I didn't put this on the screen here, but 25 verse 15. A gentle tongue can break a bone. Proverbs 25. A gentle tongue can break bones. Incredible power over speaking gently, speaking truthfully, speaking directly. You don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to get angry. You don't have to get harsh. But a gentle words can break bones. They are so powerful. In fact, the first part of that verse is, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. Patience, gentleness, a ruler can be persuaded. Bones can be broken. So if you feel you have a need to really confront someone and you get loud and you get harsh and you get direct and you just give it to them, and when you're done, you're thinking, well, they deserve that. You may have won the war, the battle for that day, that moment, but you'll likely lose the war with using harshness. Harsh words simply stir up anger and reaction. Rarely do they benefit. So gentle versus harsh. Third category is helpful words versus careless words. A person finds joy in giving an apt. That word apt is a wise, a thoughtful, a understanding reply. How good is a timely word? Helpful versus careless words. I love this verse in Job when his friends were telling him how bad a person he is and he needs to repent, and Job was kind of justifying himself and rehearsing all the things that he did right, and he said, the words I speak, my words fell gently on their ears. Don't you like that? Job is saying, my words fell gently on people's ears. Wouldn't it be great to just to go through our day with wisdom, just that the words we speak, they fall gently on people's ears. And they don't react to them, but they hear and they respond appropriately. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, the teachers searched to find just the right words that were upright and true. Wisdom teaches us to say just the right words. And there's this word picture of and piece of art. So when you see a beautiful piece of art, in this case, apples of gold and settings of silver, so there's a sculpture, there's a piece of art with golden apples set in silver, and you look at that and you're like, wow, that's beautiful. And as you look at it, it just kind of nourishes you, it just kind of lifts you up. It's a beautiful, creative piece of art. Those are words, like words spoken in right circumstances. Wouldn't it be great to go through life and just as you speak words to your family members, to your classmates, your teachers, your people at work, your clients, customers, just that they nourish. They're gentle, they're helpful, they're truthful. And the last category is restrained versus impulse. When words are many, sin is not absent. I actually memorized this verse as a young person because, you know, I'm an introvert. And this verse is incredible comfort to us introverts, isn't it? We really don't want to talk a lot. And we're, for various reasons, we just want to be quiet. And when words are many, sin is not absent. And so it's great comfort. So for you extroverts, that's a gift also. And I'd love to be around extroverts, but you have a little extra issue, problem, concern where when words are many, if you talk too much, you're bound to say something unwise. So just kind of hold it back a little, listen, ask questions. And for us introverts, we are made to communicate and we need to use words. So let's go ahead and be bold and brave and try to use more words. So that's how God created us with difference. But the point here is be restrained in the words that you use. I love this verse as an introvert also. In Proverbs 17, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent. So I used to, I just need wisdom. Well, if I'm quiet, at least I can fake it till I can make it. So discerning people hold their tongues. All right. So those are the four categories of words. My assumption is that you, as I, even as I'm going over these four categories, I'm feeling a sense of shame, a sense of guilt, a sense of remorse. Because I know I've just blown it over and over and over with my words. I want to close with this truth that I want you to remember more than anything. It's illustrated in a great movie, The King's Speech. It's actually an R-rated movie. There's a couple scenes of language there that... But other than that, it's a great movie, and I recommend that you watch it. It's a story about King George VI. He is the father of the current Queen Elizabeth. So he was King of England back in the early 1900s. And he had a stuttering problem, a stammering problem. And as a king, he was supposed to lead his country, and they were just coming out with a radio where the king was giving speeches over the radio. And he had a stammering problem. It was a huge issue to him. And he hired a speech therapist. And it's a true story. And the speech therapist became his friend. And the point of the movie is that the speech therapist helped King George with his stammering, not through techniques, but he became a friend. And he cared for King George as a friend. And he helped King George understand that he was wounded as a child. And he became very fearful and insecure because of things that happened in his childhood. And as he understood those and he experienced acceptance, love, friendship, he was helped with his stammering problem. So the issue, the therapist knew this, wasn't his stammering. The issue is what was going on in his heart. Now, here's where I'm going with that. When you speak impulsively, when you speak carelessly and you hurt people, when you speak harshly or you're deceptive, any of these categories, when you speak those words, this is what I want you to ask. When you speak these words, what's going on in my heart right now? Why am I saying these words? Because the hearts of the wise make their mouths prudent, and their lips promote instruction. Your focus, as the therapist knew with King George, was not to focus on the tongue, but to focus on the heart. What's going on in your heart? Above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Now, Jesus gave these words in Luke 6. He said, "No good tree bears bad fruit," right? Pretty obvious. And he goes on, "A bad tree doesn't bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit." Goes on, talks about that. Then he said, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored in their heart." When a person speaks good words, it's because there's good things in their heart. Likewise, an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his own heart. So when you're speaking unwise words, when you're speaking deceptive, harsh words, there's something going on in your heart. Then Jesus ends this passage with, "Out of the overflow of his heart, the mouth speaks." Do you hear that? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's going on in your heart that's causing you to be deceptive? That's causing you to be harsh? What's going on in your heart that's causing you to clam up? Because silent treatment is a cruel way to hurt people. Withholding words. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but the message of the gospel is that Jesus knows what's going on in your heart. He knows exactly. And I've learned over the years to, when I'm using words that are hurtful, and I'm aware of that, or when I'm giving the silent treatment to someone, and I know it and they know it, I've learned to ask, "Joe, what's going on inside your heart? Jesus, would you show me? Because somewhere inside my heart, there's a wound, there's a pain, there's a sin, there's something that I'm harboring that's causing me to speak these words. The issue isn't that I just haven't learned self-control. The issue is that there's a brokenness, a sinfulness, a woundedness in my heart." Now, the good news is that Jesus, he came to carry our sorrows. He came to heal our wounds. He went to the cross. Now, in fact, when Jesus went to the cross, he suffered incredible verbal abuse. Remember that? He was mocked and scorned. He didn't deserve any of that verbal abuse. But you and I did, because of our sinfulness. We deserved everything that Jesus took going to the cross. And when Jesus hung on the cross, he experienced the ultimate silent treatment. Remember that? My God, why have you forsaken me?" You and I deserved that silent treatment from God because of our sin. Jesus took your sins and carried them to the cross. He took the verbal abuse. He took the silent treatment. And he offers to forgive you of your sin. And when you come to him in repentance and brokenness, he forgives you of your sin. And then he promised, and he does, fill you with his Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit brings healing, brings wisdom, and enables you to speak words that are wise, words that are nourishing, words that are like apples of gold in settings of silver. You can be a wise person speaking wise words as you allow Jesus to heal your heart, the pain and brokenness, and fill you with His Holy Spirit, and let His Holy Spirit guide the words that you speak. It's true. It works. Too slowly for me and probably for you, but there's change. There's hope for you. So I invite you to stand, and Christian, come forward. And we're going to sing this prayer song. And this song comes from Psalms 51. Go ahead and stand. And Psalms 51 was written by David, King David, after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And then he started being deceptive with his words and lying about it. And he was confronted and he repented. And he could have given up in despair. Oh, what a sinful man I am. But he didn't. He brought his heart, his wicked, evil, deceptive heart, he brought that back to God. He said, God, restore, create in me a clean heart. So could you do that this morning? As you're aware of your sinfulness and the words, how you have been sinful with your words or the lack of words, could you just say, Jesus, here's my heart. I know it's needing cleansing. Just Jesus, pray that prayer as we sing the song. Cleanse my heart. Fill me with your Holy Spirit that I can speak wise words.